You're listening to SBS News.
On Saturdays, children who attend a Uyghur language school in the South Australian suburb of Gillies Plains come together to learn the language spoken by their parents. It's the largest of only three established Uyghur language schools in the country, and they are banding together to keep their language alive. Human Rights Watch says that in their homeland of Xinjiang, Uyghur people are subjected to intense surveillance, forced to give up their language and their faith, and swear loyalty to President Xi Jinping. But the Chinese government denies claims that Uyghurs are detained in arbitrary detention camps as part of a plan of cultural assimilation. According to the United Nations, China has 56 officially recognised ethnic groups, and more than 100 of their languages are in danger of becoming extinct. Australian Uyghur people have little or no contact with their relatives in Xinjiang. Zulfia Abdullah, the principal of the Adelaide-based Uyghur Language School, is dedicated to passing the language on to the next generation.
We try to educate them our language here in Australia so that they have both of the language, English, as well as how important our language is for them, because that's who they are. They're the Uyghurs. You know, if we get wiped out, if they lose their language, that means that the whole Uyghur nation will be wiped out. So this is very important for my children and the children that comes to the Uyghur language.
For Uyghur people who have fled to Australia, they feel a yearning to return to their homeland in Xinjiang. Miss Abdullah hopes it will one day be safe to go home, and she tells her students that they have the responsibility to preserve the Uyghur language.
That's how what we teach them. We say one day we'll go back home when we get our freedom, that we will teach our children back home who lost their language.
The language school teaches five levels of a Uyghur language curriculum, thanks to volunteer teachers. But Ms. Abdullah says because of a lack of communication with their homeland, the greatest difficulty is finding appropriate textbooks.
When you look at Japanese school, ethnic school or Italian ethnic school, they can get their resources from their home country, where we can't. I mean, we can't, first of all, can't communicate with back home. And second of all, educated people are locked up back home. So therefore, we don't have any resources. So we have to translate some of the curriculum, some of the work that Australian curriculum have, and translate it into our language.
Zulfia Irk has just started the newest Uyghur language school in Australia, in Sydney. It opened at the beginning of this year and the children have just commenced term two. It will bring the total of Uyghur language schools in Australia to four, although they are still looking for permanent premises. Similarly to experiences in Adelaide, Ms. Irk says textbooks are impossible to find.
The resources is already destroyed because the language itself banned back home, so it's impossible to bring those materials from back home. So that's why we didn't think to bring the books from them, because if we ask any friends or relatives to send some books, they will be in trouble.
Ms. Irk only has sporadic contact with her family in Xinjiang. She says Uyghur people live in a state of terror.
It's been like a long time. I haven't spoken to them, and I have no idea what's happening to them. Are they okay or not? I'm not really sure.
About a month ago, Ms. Irk did manage to contact her sister, but she received devastating news.
Luckily, she answered, but she was so scared, and our phone call didn't last long, just like it was in a minute. And she said her young son was taken away.
Nur Muhammad Majid is the president of the East Turkestan Australian Society. He too has not heard from his family, which he says leaves him desperate for answers.
I believe that my older brother, two younger brothers and the two younger sisters, which is all my siblings, were arrested and taken to the education camps in China, leaving their children in live orphanages. And I also received a message that my father passed away 3 weeks ago. I could not communicate with my family. I even could not just say a few words before my father's death. And such conditions or such situation is causing a huge trauma for us.
Mr. Majid says the majority of children who are born after 2000 in East Turkestan are unable to speak the Uyghur language, with most being fluent in Chinese language. In China, reports have indicated that the Uyghur language is gradually being phased out of secondary education and tertiary education. Dr. David Brophy is a senior lecturer in modern Chinese history at the University of Sydney. Dr. Brophy says mastering the Chinese language is seen by the government as a prerequisite for participation in Chinese society.
It's clearly something that the Chinese authorities have run out of patience with, the earlier, more gradual approach to cultural assimilation, this hope that Uyghurs would gradually move towards the mainstream culturally. They've sort of shelved that policy and they're going for a much more coercive approach. So a lot of what we hear about life inside the Cairns revolves around Chinese language class.
Dr. Brophy says the loss of language is a significant concern.
If current trends continue, I don't think that the Uyghur language will completely die out, but it will become a language that tend to be spoken only at home with the family members, but not necessarily even with your peers at school. And that obviously, constitutes a significant diminution in the status of the language. It's being put very much on a, level below that of Chinese. And, I think over time that can lead to a significant erosion.
The language schools in Australia aim to combat this. The principal of the Adelaide School, Zulfia Abdullah, says learning the Uyghur language will also help children gain a sense of belonging.
That's very important for the children as well, to know who they are and which group they belong to, and they can actually speak or they can eat same food and things like that. So it's very much as belonging to a group or belonging to their own culture.
Jennifer Scherer, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, or Wooshka.